Amen. Amen.
Well, everybody's got to be somewhere. And I'd rather be here than in jail. Amen. Amen. You leave it up to Dr. Ruckman and Jack Woods and you'd have a messed up date. I'll guarantee you that. Amen. I don't know what happened. But anyway, the day he called me, I was getting ready to catch a plane to go to Brother Buddy Cargill's funeral. And, man, I hate a new Bible. Amen. But I'm glad to be here this morning. We've done everything in the world to get here. You know, it's wonderful to preach. I come by a preacher boy's house yesterday. I just stopped for a few minutes. 21 years old. He's just a kid. God called him to preach. He's done it. Done a good job. Good preacher boy. And they found out he's a diabetic, and now he's fell, and he was injured, and now his body's beginning to dry up and go away. And I looked at that kid, probably weighs 75 or 80 pounds, just dried up to nothing, and fixing to die. And I looked at him, and I started to walk out the door, and he said, "Preach to him, preacher." I said, "You do the same." He said, "I do." And he gets a lot of opportunities to preach. His mother told me, said, "He won't be here 6 more months." But in his heart, for all these years, since about an 11-year-old kid, all he's going to do is preach. And his daddy's a good preacher, but his daddy spent more time driving him to preaching. Yeah, his daddy just chauffeurs him and drives him. He stays booked up. And God has used this boy. I went by to see him yesterday. And so it's a real enjoyment to do the work of God, even under severe circumstances. In verse 18 of the 5th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, in the 5th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes here about 3 weeks ago, I was reading this chapter, and God showed me 3 simple things here in this Ecclesiastes 5, verse 18. I guess this meeting has been, you know, for preachers and talking about preachers. I'm just not made this way. I'm not hooked up this way. I don't understand why anybody would think they had the right to tell us where to preach. Now, when I got saved, a lot of doors opened for me. I was a young man. That's been 38, 39 years ago. And so I had a lot of open doors. But I also had some convictions. And them convictions closed all them doors. And now, these people offer to pay me to do what I was doing. So I'm not going to do what anybody else wants me to for free. You'll get that in a minute. It'll go on around. I mean, they actually offer to pay me. And I've been preaching all these years. I thank God for everything the Lord's done for me. My church said, "I want to give you that house," a few months ago. And Brother John and them, they got their papers, and I tore them up. I said, "I don't want no house. I don't need no house. I'm not going to take this house." All them old thieves there and all them old characters said, "Well, this church gave him a $65,000, $70,000 home." Amen? Somebody said, "You drive a nice car." Yeah, I mean, budget rental. Amen. They pay, I drive. Amen? Thank God for that. I'm not going to let nobody tell me where I can preach. I tell myself where to preach. I told the boys that day, I said, "Book me about 3 meetings in the penitentiary." I've kind of got away from that. I've kind of got away from what God called me to. Y'all book the meetings. And man, here they come back next. He said, "You ready?" First night, I went in the building, great, big, huge building. Hundreds of men in there. And Brother John had to nearly help me out of there. It didn't have a window, didn't have a door, and didn't have nothing in there. But a steel door right in the back. And all those men, all that heat in there. And in Texas back in this past summer, I said, "Lord, have mercy. It looked like you're squirting me with water. It looked like water just washed me down." And over just a few months' time, I lost 20 pounds. And offerings wasn't very good down there either. But I enjoyed it. Enjoyed seeing them men get saved. I saw one of them little fags down there, you know, and he was a charismatic. And he said, "Pray for me. The Lord's going to heal me." I said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "I got AIDS." I said, "Where'd you get them?" He said, "I caught them in here." I said, "Keep them. Get away from me. You know, amen. You know, amen." All right. You got your Bible in the 5th chapter of Ecclesiastes, verse 18. "Behold, that which I have seen It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all of his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Enjoy. Now, I've came here, I've met some men that I know and have known for years, and you don't even seem to be enjoying what God has given you. Some of you are discouraged. And I'd like to try to help you this morning. This Bible says right here, enjoy the good of all of his labor. It said it is your portion. Now, God in his Word here has commanded us to enjoy what we've got. I've seen people laying on beds, sick, in wheelchairs, just enjoying what God was doing with them. And that's where you'll find people who are really hooked up, you know. Look like more God things happen to them, the more they love the Lord. Not no free ride, man. This ain't no free ride. Now look at verse 19. It said, enjoy. Now look here in verse 19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and has given him power to eat of, to take his portion. I gave it to you. Now God said, take it. Now look at it, please. And to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. God said here that you was not only to enjoy it, but God said you was to rejoice about it. I mean, things are going bad. What do you do, Brother Wood? Suck your thumb, swell up like a poison dog. No, you'd rejoice and to praise the Lord. Man, who cares what happens? Who cares? Man said the other day to five or six of my preacher boys, said, we don't want you here anymore. So they went out and had a little old deal on a street corner and made them about $3,000 that week. You really need them people. They said, we'll pay you. We'll take care of you. Flip them people. The Southern Baptist told me 30-something years ago, look, boy, this is what we can do for you. I said, man, where's God at? This thing warped my mind when I first got saved. You know, I had never even saw Brother Roloff, and we were as close as friends. I hadn't even saw him in 7, 8 years. Brother Jack, when the City of Refuge was started, I was there. Brother Roloff said, where did you get these men? Where did these men come from, Brother Jack? I said, well, I had him in a schoolhouse right outside of Thorndale, Texas. Brother Ross said, where'd you get these men? I had about 10 or 12 men there that was trying to help Bubba Key, who died upon the mountain where we got the boys home today. Right there when Bubba was there, and he was the first man that was ever in the City of Refuge. And God saved him, and he served God 26 years. We was old drug addicts together on the streets of Houston. Little boys to get out robbing and stealing, carrying on. Just the little old kids. You think I'm going to come this far down the road and sell out? Them old men come there, Brother Walker, and he said, man, if we had some land, we'd just start a City of Refuge. I said, hey, I got a deacon who'll give 80 acres. And old man Arnold Jensen gave the first 80 acres of land. He's still living today. He's way up in his high 80s. I saw him here just a while back. And he gave Brother Walker the first 80 acres of land. I was sitting right there in the meeting. He said, I'll give you the land. Go out and rescue the perishing. And we saw the perishing get saved in that old sand hill. The last time I called him, he was going to the Southwide Fellowship. And I said, Brother Walker, we got a problem. He said, you don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And he took care of it. Preached on the King James Bible. He took care of it. Took real good care of it. He could take care of things. One time me and him got in an argument. And I cussed him out literally. He said, you're crazy. He said, get in my car. Took me downtown, bought me a real nice car. Somebody in the enterprise had sold my old junker. It wasn't worth $2. Wasn't worth $2. If you was going to run it off a river bridge, you'd have to put a dollar in to say something went. Amen? Yeah. And Brother Roloff said, what are you mad about? I said, somebody sold my car. And they didn't tell him about it. He said, do you think I know everything? He took me down there and bought me the nicest car I've ever owned in my life. You think I'm going to sell out what I learned from them old men? Somebody going to tell me, you can't go here and preach and you can't go there. Amen? Oh, come on, man. Do you fellowship with them? I don't fellowship with anybody. I don't. I don't fellowship. I got 55 or 60 men in my church come down every Saturday night, come down and kneel down and pray. I fellowship with them men right there. I got a bunch of old jailbirds got saved. I fellowship with them men right there. I don't need Dr. Doodle Digger across the street to fellowship with. He ain't got no fellowship no how. He won't talk about somebody. The Bible said rejoice. Look at verse 20. Here's the third thing. Look at it. Enjoyment is yours. Rejoicing is yours. He shall not remember the days of his life because God answers him in the joy of his heart. And so the third thing he said, it's your portion to have the joy of God in your soul. And if you're here this morning and you don't have the joy of God in your heart, you're backslid. If you're not rejoicing, you're backslid. If you're not enjoying what God is using you for, you're backslid. One day, many years ago, a guy said, if you'll do so-and-so. And his brother Jack Hiles, you ask him. I went to Houston, started work there in 1957. He said, you'll send me a name of everybody that gets saved. And that's the way he did it. And I ain't got no qualms with that. But Jack said, if you'll do this, Jack, he said, I'll support you $150 a month. And I shook his hand and said, thank you, preacher, and I appreciate it, but you won't never get a letter from me. Because I ain't reporting to nobody. He said, well, that ain't the way it is. He said, that's just a policy we have. I said, well, I got a policy I've had for everybody. I won't answer to nobody. And my family started getting hungry, and I said, I wonder if I was wise about that. Huh? I needed that money. But hey, I'm just Jack, too. Everybody be his own Jack. Amen? Amen? And I've said it ever since it started. Robert Sumner couldn't preach, so he needs to write a bunch of articles. Amen. Oh, man, we had him years ago. He couldn't preach himself out of a wet bag. Amen. He don't know how to preach. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Wood. Amen. Now, well, I've got something else to do. We ought to enjoy the work of God. We ought to enjoy the work of God. Car driving might bore you, but John drives, so it don't bore me. So I just sit there and enjoy. I never have got out of the car and said, John, this is a long trip. He's drove me 1,400 miles, 1,500 miles. I just get out of the car and thank God that God let me ride in that new Lincoln up and down the highway. It don't even belong to me. Amen. I like that. I like it. Man, I remember when I was riding a freight train. I rode a freight train all the way from California and wanted everywhere but home. Amen. Police looking at me everywhere. Nothing to eat. Dirty and filthy. And God give me a suit of clothes and a car to drive and a chauffeur to drive it. People dumb enough to sit and listen to me. I'm going to enjoy it. There's enjoyment in being saved. Now, you say what you want to, bless God. I tell you, when I got saved, I just became a shouter that day. It was so one, I never heard of nobody raising their hand. I never heard of nobody praising the Lord. But I'm telling you, the day I got saved, I got excited. It might not have affected you that way, and that's all right. But I'm telling you, it had an effect on me that I started rejoicing and enjoying what I was doing. And I don't care who it was. One man told me one time, I said, Brother Roloff told me, he said, I'm going to send you to Tennessee Temple School. And I said, all right. So Dr. Doodledigger, he come over to my house. And he said, if you go to that school, we'll never use you. I said, I didn't intend for you to use me. He offended me. And I was fixing to do something to him. When I got saved, I didn't weigh but 125 pounds. I had to get me a hatchet or something. Amen. But that's enjoy. The Bible said, let us rejoice that our name is written in heaven. Hey, you can do as you please, but I'm going to praise God that I'm saved. Hey, man, I got saved. I mean saved, literally saved. My children know I'm saved. My grandchildren know I'm saved. And when them great-grandchildren are old enough, they're going to know I'm saved. Man, I was in the house one night. We was having a Thanksgiving mission conference, and man, God was a moving. We took up $100,000 years ago. In the last 6-7 years, we've gave right at $1 million to missions at a little old church. And people just gave it. They just gave it. You say, well, my people don't give like that. Well, you go home and set an example, it'll help.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, bless God, I believe in getting people saved here in great numbers. Well, I heard Brother Ruckman say, try China. Try India. Yes, sir. And we got missionaries in each one of them places. Yes, sir. I got a man out of my church right now that's been 37 or 38 years, and I've supported him ever since he's been there. He's been in India. He's in Africa now. They put him out of India. They put him out of Bangladesh. He's a medical doctor. A great man. Loves God. And I'm going to say something today. God answered him in the heart of the joy. We saved. Let us praise Him for His marvelous grace. I walked in a prison the other day and a boy walked out to the door. A man walked out the door, 60 years old. Shook my hand and said, Jack, how you getting along? I said, are you Curtis or Frank Dobie? He said, I'm Curtis. He said, I just want to tell you, I know you're real. You ain't no phony. I know that. Amen. And I said, I shook hands with that man and we went back in the back. We knew each other all of our lives. I asked him about four or five men that had just died down in that penitentiary. And he told me, said, well, this one died 2 weeks ago and this one died. They were friends of ours. And I looked at him when I walked out of that prison that night. It's pouring down, raining. That old Ramsey prison farm got 5,000 men in it. When I walked outside, I raised both hands in that rain and walked that car and said, thank you, Lord, I'm going home. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah, I've been locked up. I know what it is to be free. And you ain't gonna bind me in your little rules and regulations. Amen? Somebody said, what do you believe about this? I said, I don't know nothing about it. That's a lot of things, you know. I hear a lot of preachers, you know, confront everybody with every little thing they just learned. But there's a lot of things that I've learned that I still don't know nothing about. And things you don't know nothing about. One time they had Bill Dow, Lester Roloff did this. We was at the old city refuge. We had the old Big Ten up, 2,300 people there, down at Lexington, Texas. And Brother Roloff said, Jack Woods, you come and preach. Lee Robinson sitting right there. Jack Kyle sitting right there. I started calling another guy. Now they found out he's a queer. I won't mention his name in the church. But anyway, and all these men were there. And I got on a short sleeve shirt, been driving the stakes down. He said, come and preach. Boy, they was bringing great Bible message. I can tell you what Bill Dow preached on the devil that day. I got up there. I said, you know, and my daddy always told me when I was a little boy, you get something like this and you don't know nothing about it, just get up and change the subject. So I changed the subject. And I preached on Naaman moving his membership. He had a letter. They took a letter and moved his letter. But it didn't convert him. But when that guy told him, jump in the river. See, ain't no other priest ever told him to jump in the river. You know, there's a lot of Baptists need to jump in the river. Not one time, but seven times. And Naaman said, you know what I thought? And I had seven things on what I thought. I thought, sure, he'd come out here to me. I thought he'd strike his hand over the doorpost. Man, and you know, that's the way the holy rollers do. Ooh, you know, Johnny Osteen. Ooh, love, brother, love. Yeah, he loved that deacon's wife and had to put his first wife in the insane asylum. And now he, And he hadn't healed her yet, because one of her legs about that much shorter than another, because I've known her 35 years. He's a great divine healer. If you believe that, stay after certain, I'll sell you Jesse James's pistol. The enjoyment of being saved. There's enjoyment to being saved. And I'm going to enjoy my children. Some of my children, they get backslid on a guy, I'm just going to enjoy them anyway. I hear people all the time come to me and say, I want you to just pray for my son. He's just full of the devil. You are too. How am I going to pray for your kid and you tell me the whole history of it? Hey, just tell me he's lost. I'm going to enjoy my children. And I got eight of them. I'm going to enjoy that companion God gave me too. Yes, sir. And don't be talking ugly to her. Make me mad. I'm going to enjoy that church that I'm in. I ain't never told nobody. Listen, I got some of my men's picture right here in the back of my Bible. And one of the men been with me 37 years. Yes, sir. Me and Gene Couch has been everywhere. He can build anything. He asked me when I started to leave, he said, this building's 130 foot long and it's 80 foot wide. And he said, what do you want me to do about it? I said, you do it. And when you get through it, I'll do the preaching. You know, most preachers, they run around there. I'd never even go around that building. Do I, John? I'd never go around that building. I don't even want to see that building. I don't want to hear all that confusion. Hey, man, build the building. I'll do the preaching. That's right. He told me the other day, he said, I'm going to buy $8,000 worth of studs to go in. I said, no, wait a minute. 6 inches is metal, heavy gauge metal. I called a guy over here in Georgia. I come by there when I was coming right to this meeting right here, and this guy had went bankrupted, and I bought $8,000 worth of studs for $750, and I had a song leader, used to have him with me, but now he's driving a truck to Texas. He went to Texas yesterday with him $8,000 worth of studs for $750. Yeah, it will work. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask church to give me a commission on that. Amen. The enjoyment of being saved. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to be thankful to God for His goodness. The greatest sin that prevails today is the sin of unthankfulness. I had a missionary call me the other day. He'd quit. He said, I want to know what you're going to do about my support. I said, I'm going to do about your support just what you did about your job. You quit, you don't get no more. Just that simple. Hey man, when you quit, you quit. When you touch his feet on these Texas soil, you quit. Huh? And he not come home to rehabilitate or to get some new divine directions. He quit. I tell every quitter, don't come back to Shady Acres. Because you out of will of God, and I don't need no Jonas. I got 100 of them here. Amen? I'm going to enjoy myself. But unthankfulness. Amen? I mean, I support this guy $400 a month. That's $4,800. I mean, 6 or 7 years. How much money is that? About $25,000 that I've sent to this man? You're not going to help me no more? You sound like a spoiled brat. You're not going to support me anymore? No! Get right with God. I'll crank it back up. Just eliminate it. Quit talking about it. Boom. Cut it off. Just like you do a turkey's head. Boom. Yeah. You say, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, I know. I'm going to enjoy going to meet with the saints of God. I'm just going to enjoy it. And people, there's two guys come in. They just hate me. They come in the meeting last week in Houston, and we was having a big camp meeting. We have a winter camp meeting. And these two guys come in there, and they just look at everybody. Some guy hollers, glory! Well, they buried their teeth at them. I just got in the pulpit. I said, why don't y'all just leave? Pointed right at them. I said, get out of here. Won't you just get out of church? What are you sitting there like a wet knob for? Get out of here. Man walked in our church here just a while back, and I called for John, but he didn't come. He didn't see me. Guy came here about 60 years old, about my age. I thought I could handle it. And I walked back. He'd been there that morning. That night he come back. He said, I'm from this BBC church right over here. And I said, well, just sure glad to have you. And he said, I didn't enjoy the morning service. Camp meeting just started. I said, I tell you, it's going to get worse. He said, the music's too loud. Dr. Ruckman said, amen. He wears them earplugs when he comes to our place. Amen. But we ain't going to change the music. We just going to blast her out. You know? And this guy said, I guess this is just a one-man show. I sat there and listened to him. I tried to be nice the best I can. And finally, he looked at me and he said, boy, you come around here and sit down. Now, I'm not going to tell you what I said. But I said, you get your out that back door right there. And he said, what if I don't? I said, I'm going to whoop you right here before the service. That's what's going to happen. I said, I believe I'm man enough, but if I ain't, I'm going to call old big boy and he's going to throw you out of something. Amen? And he went home and called one of my members and said, your pastor offended me. And I asked this girl that had invited him, my song leader, I asked him, I said, how come them people come? He said, well, he's the chairman of the board of deacons. And every 2 years for the last 18 years, he's fired the pastor. Come here, boy, and sit down. I ain't no boy. Amen? Amen. I ain't no boy, and I ain't no flunky. Amen. So get out. There's the door. And we had a real good service. I knew it was going to grieve him anyway. But he looked up at me and said, what if I don't? His wife said, what did he say? He said for us to get out of here. She said, I believe we better go. What I want to do is enjoy the fellowship of the saints, and I ain't messing with the ain'ts. That's just me. That's just me. You say, well, Brother Wood, I'm just not cut out that way. You ain't even cut. I mean, God, in this day and time, we done come to a new age, brother. A little queer come walking in there the other day and said, I was just looking. That boy said, get in that car, boy, and drive that BMW off of this property. You didn't let him come in? No, we don't want no fags in there. We don't even want him breathing our air, drinking out of our water fountain. Don't even want to use a commode. We don't even... Well, he might know less than a child. No! Hey, fag, get out! It's God's house. Two of them little funnies were sitting right about five seats back here a while back. I jumped on the first seat. They're laughing at me. Second seat, third seat, fourth seat. Finally, I got right down on the face. And I said, when God draws all that, burns all that lace off your drawers in hell, you'll quit laughing. And a girl in our church asked him Monday morning, said, I'm going to give our pastor your name. And I'm going to send the pastor over here to talk to you. She said, they said, please don't. Please, please. He's such a violent man. Them baby rapers. Call me. The most violent person on God's earth is a sodomite. The most violent person on earth. Go down and ask any convict boss. I'm going to enjoy the meeting with the saints. I'm going to enjoy the friendship and the fellowship of God's people. And I'm going to pick my own friends. Ain't no denomination going to pick my friends. No fellowship going to pick my... Ain't nobody going to pick my friends. Pick my own friends. Amen. I've always been guilty of that. I pick my own friends regardless of what the cost was. I'm going to enjoy the worship of God. You can sit there and look like a stuffed shirt if you want to. But I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen. I started to tell you, we had that big meeting down in Texas, and there's all the people in there, and there's a shouting and a praising God. I went to bed. And I looked at my boy laying over here, and the boy laying here, and the grandchild laying over here. And I got up there in the middle of the night going to the restroom, and I was walking over them kids and through them kids. Man, they're just laying everywhere. And by the time I got thinking about all them kids, all normal, all saved. About that time, I had a spell at 2 o'clock in the morning. Nobody wasn't picking a banjo. Nobody wasn't playing a guitar. I had both hands in the air. Just praising God that He'd let me have a family. There's nothing wrong with them. If you had all of our doctor bills in all these years, you couldn't get out of town. I mean, God has been good to us. And I'm going to praise the Lord. I don't care what old dry high said. I'm going to praise the Lord. I went to Tennessee Temple School. I have no qualms. I just, you know, I don't send no students, nothing like that. I just have no argument with them. That's their business. They can worship, do whatever they want to. I'm going on down the road. Amen. You listen to me? I don't have no argument with nobody. I ain't had no argument with nobody. Man, flip them. They get up and use my name, and I can even be there. They don't even know me. I sit there and laugh. They'll use my name and say, you know what this crazy man believes? And I walked up and I said, how you doing, brother? My name's Jack Wood. How are you? Yeah. Just smile. I don't say that to him. I don't care. You know, the Bible said, let the ignorant be ignorant still. But I'm going to enjoy. I'm sick of hearing, Brother Wood, we're having the worst case of this. No, man. And little old bitty things, everything. Did you notice that every need that was read here this morning, even out of the mission letters, it was a physical thing that we could probably all take care of, even this morning. So it's not a life-ending thing, none of it. Now, there might be a sick baby here, a sick baby there, but most of the things that stop us are temporary. When I got saved, and God is my witness, God's striking me dead right here today. 21 years I preached. I never bought a suit of clothes. I never had a suit of clothes. Every time they pushed one of them ghetto rats in, I checked him, see how big he was. I see what I did. Saturday night when I went to church, I just got in and run the aisles. Praise God. Well, Brother Wood, I've never met you. I've never met you either. I ain't been where you've been. Amen. We don't need nobody but God. I enjoy the friendship, the fellowship of the brethren, men that I meet. I've known Brother Jim here for years, Jim White for years. I've enjoyed fellowship, enjoyed preaching with him. But hey, I don't see him but once a year. I'm going to enjoy the presence of God and every provision He makes for me, I'm going to praise Him for it. I'm not going to ask Him, when are you going to send the next? I'm going to enjoy what I got. And I'm going to praise God for it. Amen? Now this is in my church. I doubt if it'd be here. I can start to a camp meeting somewhere to preach. Brother John drives me out on Sunday night, and four or five guys come up and say, how many of you got going with you? I said, we got room. How many's going? We got room. How many's going? I said, you can't go. He's going to know if it's convenient and comfortable in that van. Let me go get a free ride. I went to Myrtle, Mississippi for about 5 or 6 years. 55 I was there, 56 I was there, 57. I hitchhiked there and back. You know what I did? I got a drink when I got there. I mean, Bob Gray get up and preach at the Boxes, Bottles, and Tears, you know, the first time he ever preached it. And James Crumpton, they'd get up and preach, and I'd just sit there and enjoy it. I didn't even know any better. I was ignorant. I was the only independent Baptist there. I didn't know that. I just enjoyed God. I enjoyed the service. And I guarantee you, it's this far down the road, but a lot of people have lost their enjoyment, so they started building them a little cabin up in the country. I'm going to have to get away. Away from what? I just go home, pull all the things out, and nobody knows I'm there. I just enjoy. My wife said, I think there's a telephone ringing. I said, disconnect that sucker. I'm tired. I've been busy. And I'm just going to sit down here for about a week and enjoy the things of God. I don't have to spend no bunch of gas money or build me no stupid house up in the hills. And somebody said, I'd just like to get out. Yeah, where the ticks are. Huh? And the ants are. And the mosquitoes are. No, man! I got a house. Somebody told me the other day, they said, boy, I'm going to this antique show. You want to go? I said, no. I slept in them antiques. Lived in them. I don't know antique, man. I mean something new if I'm going to get it. Your enjoyment of the saints of God. I'm going to enjoy. I'm going to enjoy. I'm going to enjoy doing God's service. You listen to me? I don't care how much it pays or if it don't pay. Amen? I mean, you God's man. What you going to do to pay anyway? All you're going to do is take it down there, drop an offering plate, I hope. That's what we've done with ours. I remember when God spoke to me to give $10 mission, I said, are you talking to me? I started putting $10 a week in. About a year later, He said, bring y'all to raise that. I remember when He told me 100. I remember when He told me 200. I remember when He told me 300. I remember when He told me 400. I said, Brother Wood, would you come and preach me a mission conference? What are you giving? I don't care what you... Well, my people are just so poor. Really? How about you? You say, I'm poor too. How about your faith? I said, well, it's poor too. You ain't going to get much done, are we? We owe it to the world to be supernaturally joyful. That's what we owe the world. Just walk out there. I'm not talking about one of these bubbling idiots out of a charismatic movement. A hallelujah, glory to God. No, man, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about got God in your heart. Two of my men got up just this past week. They just got up. One of them said, man, I just feel like we ought to just go witness. Let's just go out on the street. And so these two boys, they ain't been saved long. One of them hadn't been saved not even a year. So they went out on the street and it just pouring down rain and they couldn't get in the house. They couldn't do nothing. Finally went down to they said, let's just stop and go in this... big store here, and they went to a big store, and they were just standing there, leaned up, had a Bible in a hand. And a lady walked in there with a little half-black girl, about 15 years old, beautiful young lady. And she walked up and said, are y'all preachers? They said, yes, ma'am. She said, could you tell me how to be saved? So they told them both. And this Mexican lady came to church Sunday morning, her and her daughter, and stood right there, and come down the front. My sister took them in the back and went over very careful with them. And I mean, she just come out of her face shining like a light. Both of them. Said, we got saved in a Kmart store. You said, that's different. I know it is. Yeah, I know it is. God's always different. But I'm going to enjoy it. Sure, there's storms, there's setbacks. That's sacrifices. I walked in the house the other day. My wife's laying there unconscious. One of them things had busted up in her head. She'd had a light stroke. And we put her on that gurney. And we started over there, you know, to that hospital, and she couldn't get nothing. She couldn't get nothing. I mean, this woman has been with me, man, 40 years. Hey, man, 40 years. I'm telling you, Brother Ruckman, I was in a storm one time with this woman. And I said, girl, them soldiers are coming in here. We're in a foreign country. I said, they coming in this house. And they done said you could go outside. She said, you going? I said, no. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I'm going to leave it up to the end. She reached down and got an automatic shotgun and started pushing them in there. She said, how's this thing work? Her daughter's married to a preacher today. She said, Papa, how's this thing work? The oldest boy, Jack Jr., he said, how's this thing work, Papa? About that time, they thought they ought to call the governor. The governor said, you get away from these people. These people are Christian, and leave them alone. And he gave a command, get them soldiers out of here and leave these people alone. He hadn't done nothing. But I don't know nothing, but they just stand. My daddy taught me that. I got saved, and I believe God sanctified it. You said you're just as crude. I might be crude, but I'm going to stand on my 2 feet as a man. If I hadn't, that man went to hell sitting right over there. Them deacons said, you're leaving here. And you're leaving tonight. They left and I'm still there. Said, I'll whip you. I said, you done jumped on the old man. You didn't get that done. You better not jump on his boy. He trained me. I'll bite your ear off and spit in your eye. Enjoy I'm going to do in God's service. It's been enjoy. Hey, and one lady said to me the other day, said, don't you just get tired of fighting and fighting? I said, no, I love it. That'd be just like asking Dr. Ruckman, don't you just finally get sick and tired of hockey? Man, we done been up here in the middle of the night, and he said, we're going to go play hockey. I said, I'm going to bed. Amen? Amen. Hey, man, if that's a fight, why don't you enjoy it? Well, I know they're going to fall. God's done give me His Word. I'm going to win. Sure, there's storms. Sure, there's setbacks. Sure, there's sacrifices. But I'm going to enjoy it. Sure, there's bad days. Sure, there's bad things happen. If you think you've had bad things happen, sit down sometime. I'll write you a book. We're living in a real world, and this is not fantasy. Some of you young people sitting right here are going to see some things. Me and Dr. Ruckman won't be here. But you're going to see some weird, strange things. Here just a while back, 6 winos walked in. They said, we're from the Homeless Coalition. Come into the rescue mission. We're with the Homeless Coalition. I said, okay, what do y'all want? We want better clothes. We want better ties. We want better shoes. We want a better place to sleep. And we'll better food. What'd y'all do? Trying to laugh at them. One of them said, you know, we can make it worth your while. And Big Jeff, he weighs 3 and a half, and said, what'd you say to preacher? And you call the police, and you know what they tell you? You're on your own. You know what they call about our parking lot? 3 cars went out of the parking lot one Sunday night. What are you going to do about it? You're on your own. Okay? We're on our own. Thank you. It's good to know that. But I'm going to tell you something. There's about 30 thieves, killers, and robbers that got saved. And they remember Shady and they can handle anything that comes down the pipe. Yeah. All them ladies in that nursery got to do is ring that red buzzer, and they know to be there. And I seen Victor shoot a deer at 107 yards shooting a 44 long coat. Boom. 107 yards. I don't believe it. Victor said, you know, I was that far off. I said, yeah, I'd have been. You've never seen the bullet. I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm going to tell you, I don't care what them infidels say. I'm going to enjoy this Bible. I just picked up a little book the other day, and it come from Moody Institute. And you know what that thing said? It said who the great people were. And I looked over and it said, Ironheart Nestle. Nestle Ironheart, whatever it is. I looked at it. Now, I can read just a little bit, but I can read. I went to school 5 years. Dr. Lee Robinson made a public announcement this week. He made a public announcement Friday night. He said, Jack Woods went to our school 1.5 years, and we never helped him one bit. That's what he said. I said, amen. Praise God. That's right. That's what he said. I didn't say that. Lee Robinson said that. And there's one thing you got to say for him. He's a Christian gentleman, and he just stood up there. And I got up after him and I said, I went there a year and a half and I ain't getting nothing. Amen. I mean, you know. I'm going to enjoy it. I mean, you know. If a guy wants to be an infidel, that's his business. You're not going to take this book away from me. This little crazy boy there the other day, he's at Bob Jones University. He said, and so we got an argument. So he wrote the man down in Houston and he said, look, his brother, he said, I went in there and said, man, they just cutting that book all to pieces. And he said, well, I told you that when you went. So the next week, he walks up to the professor and asks him some questions. And so the next week, they had a guy there. And the guy said, in 14th chapter of John, in my house are many mansions. But he said it does not say mansions. It said in my house are many rooms. You know, you think he was raised in Irvington Courts. That's a low rent court in Houston. And the boy jumped up and said, my God! He just, you know, just a young man. My God! Said he'd been taking the Bible last week. Now they're taking my mansion. I'm gone. I'm gone. And he run out the back door. I'm gone. Took my Bible last week. Now they're going to take my mansion. I had a dumb professor tell me one time, said, you need your wife to come to this homiletic class. I said, what for? He said, well, there'll be times in your life when you'll just need her to prepare a sermon. I just looked at him and laughed, and I said, all this stuff you've been teaching, I believe your wife prepared it. Amen. Y'all don't take this book away from me. This is my lamp and my light, and it'll lead me in the path that God wants, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to enjoy this book. I went to school. A professor right here, he's in Florida now, and he said, I want everybody in this school this next morning to have a Williams translation of the Bible. I bet you most of you ain't even heard of it. And so, you know, we all had to go out and buy the Williams translation. So I came home, I had that little book, and so I let Papa have it. And Papa could never read. He said, read it to me, Marty. So Mama started reading it to him. He said, what's the matter with that thing? And he said, Jack, that ain't inspired. I said, how do you know? He said, ain't never said nothing to me. Been reading two or three chapters. See, you can't con nobody like that. See, you got to be a religious nut to get conned. See, you're not going to take this book away from me. This is my book, and this book has been my banner. And I'm not going to take it away. You're not going to take it away from me. It's wisdom when I need it. It's knowledge when I need it. And I'm telling you, it's peace when I need it. And it's satisfaction for my soul. And you, nor nobody else, is going to take it away. This is God's eternal book. I'm not going to take it away from me. And then I'm going to enjoy it. I'm just going to read it and believe it and enjoy it. Most people read the newspaper. This newspaper is 20 years old. This is how smart people are in the newspaper. You know, it's really, really something. Really, it says, Dear Ethel, that's a good name for a lady. She's a writer on this newspaper in Houston. My son wants to become a Major League Baseball player and probably has the talent to become a Major League star. Is this a wise career move? Dad. This paper was written June 12, 1966. Dear Dad, salaries are low now, and I believe salaries will get even worse in the future. Push your son into a lucrative trade like spot welding or pipe fitting. Highly, highly intelligent. And it says in there, if you have any answer, said, we have most of them. If you need an answer, we have most of them. Put your son into spot welding. That means $7 an hour. Because Nolan Ryan, he gets a little more than that. Yeah. But I'm going to enjoy seeing sinners get saved. And you're not going to take it away from me. You say, these are the last days. I've been in the last days since Pentecost. Yeah. But I want to see sinners saved. I'm going to rejoice over those sinners that get saved. I'm going to pray for the unsaved. I'm going to go down and preach to them. And I done found out something. God can save anybody. Yeah. I'll tell you, I met some sorry people that were saved. This old girl come rolling in here a while back in our church. We was having a big old meeting. And there was a big name evangelist there. And she had this... She had this black boy with her. I said, Judy, where in the world did you get that black boy? And I mean, Judy had just been an old renegade. She's about 38 years old. She'd been in every jail, and I mean, had all kinds of problems. She said, I was just coming down the road right there, and said, I seen this little jitterbug standing out there on a street corner, and said, I knew him. He used to work for me up at a store. And said, I just stopped and told him, get in. He hopped in. I said, Judy, what if this man would have grabbed you? She said, I took this 44 in my leg and blowed his brains out. He didn't grab me. I grabbed him. And so anyway, when the invitation, here comes Arthur. Arthur's running down the aisle. I mean, he had looked like a jumpsuit on, looked like Bozo the Clown. Boy, he come down the aisle. Here he come. He fell down there, began to pray and ask God to save him. This big evangelist said, how long do you think that'll last? I'm going to tell you one thing. It's lasted until now. Arthur's in every service there where he's at. We got a black church there. We've had six of those young men to get saved, black young men get saved. And every one of the men have been trained and ordained and put there in that black church at the Antioch Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. Yeah. You say, well, they ain't too smart. Well, that guy said his name was Rufino. So what do you think his heritage was? I'll tell you what it was. His daddy loved pizza. I had the blackest man I ever saw in my life. Well, they just walked right up to me and he said, Gonzalez is my name. I said, man, we're in a weird world, aren't we? I led his mother to Christ. She said, my name is Mandela Gonzalez, black as a crow. Weird world. Weird world. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm going to enjoy it. Oh, you figured all out. You get all the social things fixed up. You get all abortion clinics. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy it. I saw families put together. In the last month, I've married four young, sorry renegades. Yeah. I marry them over my house. That's the way we do it. One girl said, I won't be married in a church. I said, honey, you need to be married in a church. You got saved in a church. Don't get God all involved in all this foolishness. Her mother said, if she's not married in the church, there won't be no marriage. I said, if you're going to run it, there ain't going to be no marriage. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm just going to enjoy it. Whether they enjoy it or not, I'm going to enjoy it. I saw families put together, young families get started, and I saw three of them in the last month get called to preach. My soul. Oh, no. I'm going home tomorrow night. Danny Farley will be teaching two classes. I'm going to teach a couple of classes Tuesday night. Yeah. I'm just going to sit there and enjoy it. You said the world's going to hell. That church ain't. So I'm going to sit there and praise God. I'm going to go downtown and praise the Lord. Man, I saw some people get saved. See, I see children. Got old wicked mamas and daddies. I see them get saved and get hope. And them little eyes just sparkling. They'll go down to Sally's and buy them a little old suit, you know. They'll come walking in. Hello, preacher. How you like my new suit? About the second day, he comes, where you? How you like my boots? God told me the other day, he said, you can't preach in my pulpit without any boots. I said, well, I won't be doing no preaching. Because my back has been broke from a fall with a horse, and my left hip has been broke in four pieces, and I don't even have part of my pelvis is gone. And I said, sir, I can't even walk without these boots. He said, oh. You know, preacher, you better be careful what you say. My boy the other day was standing like this with his hand in his pocket. Preacher walked up and said, how you doing? And he said, fine, sir, how are you? He said, your right hand. I shake hands with your right hand. He said, if you'll lift this crippled arm of mine out of this thing, I'll shake hands with you. Better be careful. Better be careful. Better just shut up and be careful. It's better just keeping your mouth instead of trying to chase it down. I'm going to have the enjoyment of seeing sinners saved. You're here this morning and you're lost. If you're lost this morning, you know before God, a lot of times lost people understand straight preaching better than some saved folks do. Because saved folks got preconceived ideas, you see. But that old lost boy said, man, black man said to me the other day in the prison, he said, preacher, you told it like it is. He said, you called a spade a spade. And I said, yeah, Billy Duncan, and you're black as a spade. Billy Duncan from Victoria, Texas, one of the greatest ropers I've ever seen handle a bull. Billy killed a ranger. Ain't never going to get out. But just a few years ago, God saved Billy Duncan. You know what the prisoner boss said? The boss said, if we didn't have Billy Duncan in this prison, we'd have a killing every day. But since Billy got saved, he's a peacemaker. Peacemaker. This old man down named Jenkins, and he walks like this. And he's so big, he's not very tall, but he's just huge. And he weighs about 300, but he ain't that tall. And he just walks like this. And he wears them long Bermuda shorts. He looks ridiculous. His belly hangs out like this here. Looks like he'd have a wheelbarrow to pull it. I asked somebody, I said, Billy, how long's that old man been in here? He said, about 28 years. He's a Satan worshiper. Hates God. The other morning, one of my men, been with me about 13 years, Dan went down to the prison, walked in there, and old man Jenkins said, Dan, I need to talk to you. So what are you going to talk about? He said, I want to talk to you, Dan, in private. Went around down to the private room, and he said, what do you want? He said, Dan, he didn't wait for Dan to tell him nothing. He just got on his knees. And he said, Dan, I want your God. That's what I want. That's all I want. He said, well, you just pray to him. He said, I don't know him. So Dan prayed. He said, Mr. Jenkins, pray. He said, Dan's God, I come to you in Jesus' name. Dan's God. You ever saw anybody lately looking for your God? Dan's God. Well, man, Jenkins came back out. Dan said, Mr. Jenkins, what are you doing down here? He said, I got drunk one night in a drunken rage. And I killed my wife and my five children with my own two hands. He said, Dan, I've been a wicked man. A wicked man. But tonight God saved me. Dan called me from the prison. He said, Jenkins, got in. My soul, I just got up. Lost all of my dignity. Run around that place and shouted and praised God. I love to see God save old sinners. I love that old song, God Saves Old Sinners. That's my theme song in our church. I've seen him save some of the roughest, the ugliest, the meanest devils in the world. One guy came on me the other day and he said, Mr. Wood, lives in a $250,000 house right behind the church. He came over and he said, Mr. Wood, did you know that they're fixing to build a halfway house right down in Dan Center? And he said, really? He said, yeah, right in our community. Dan said, praise God. He said, are you for it? He said, yeah, sure. Man, I drive around town looking for him. Now all I got to do is go down there and work the line. Yeah, going to build a halfway house right next to the church. Sure, we're for it. See, they wasn't for it. They wanted to get them criminals. He got real angry. He said, they're just scum of the earth. I said, I've been here a long time, and I noticed a lot of them children in $250,000 homes are in prison, too. And I said, at least they wouldn't have as far to go downtown if they had it out here. His son was in jail then. Yeah. I'm going to enjoy it. You're not enjoying being unsaved. See, God gave me a portion. He said, I'm going to let you enjoy it. I've accepted that. It takes acceptance to that. God said it, and I'm going to accept it. And God said, I'm going to let you rejoice. Then you got over in Philippians and said, rejoice evermore, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. You said, yes, I'm going to do that. But a lot of people come and said, I just don't believe that's necessary. Might never be necessary, but it sure feels good. Praise God. Praise God. You said, Brother Wood, I just feel so weak. That's because you don't have no joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's wonderful this morning to be saved. It's wonderful to know God. But it's more wonderful to have the joy of God in your heart and the peace that passes all understanding. Who cares? When I get to heaven, God said, now, Jack, I tried to straighten you up and polish you up, and you shouldn't have talked to this person that way and this person that way. I said, Lord, I'm just trying to help him. He said, that ain't the way you do it. But at least I can plead ignorance. Insanity, whatever. I can. and be justified in the sight of God. But I'm going to tell you, it's pretty straight here where it says, rejoice. Jack Hiles used to have an old boy in his church named J.B. Cornsby. The guy sat on the back row. I've heard people make remarks about that, you know. But you couldn't hold J.B. down. He was the greatest soul winners I ever knew. He put both hands in the air. Holler, glory to God. Hallelujah. Walk up and down the aisle. I mean, he was wild, man, wild. No reason Brother Hiles put up with him. You know, he was just such a great soul winner. I mean, man, he just went six or seven people at a time. I mean, this man was a great soul winner. And finally, one time, two other people started shouting. And so Jack asked him, said, are y'all shouting on credit? Or are y'all really involved in the work of God and the souls of men, just like J.B. is? I never have forgotten that. It never got away from me. I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to praise God. When we get to heaven, I'm going to enjoy that too. But I'm trying to practice up a little bit. I'm going to try to practice. My mother used to tell me, you know, I get to walking on top of the things in the church and on the piano and the organ and all that. And Mama said, Jack, that don't look like it's right. But I said, it feels so wonderful. So wonderful to watch these deadheads. Hey, man, we're God's people. Our sins are all gone. They're all gone. Them that we committed, them that we have committed, and them we're going to commit. They're gone. It looks like to me that everybody be standing on their feet, hollering, glory be to God. They're gone! They're gone! They're gone. They ain't coming back. I ain't going to hell! I'm going to live forever. Well, let's pray. I'll preach myself and give out. I wonder here this morning, preacher, student, you've just lost the joy. You're looking at the natural things. How much money you ain't got, how ragged your clothes are, and the engine blowed up in your car. You're worrying about those things instead of the eternal things. I wonder if God just have you to get right with God and say, Lord, listen, these things are temporary. I might be in heaven in a year. I might be in heaven in 3 weeks. Why don't I just shout it out now? Why don't I just praise God now? Why don't I have the peace of God now? Maybe you're an unsaved person here this morning. I'm telling you, the Christian life is not what you think it is. The Christian life is a bundle of joy. To be birthed into God's family and to feel God's presence. God help you with every need that you have. If you're here and you're not saved, you can come to the Lord Jesus this morning. Neighbor, He'll save you. And He'll save you forever. You can literally become His child. You can take His Son this morning and eternally settle your destiny. I pray today will be the day that you get saved. Help us, Lord. We commit it all unto Thee now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing 381.
Let God have His way. Let God speak to you this morning. If you're not saved, it's a wonderful day to get saved. If you've lost that joy, be a good day to get it back. Be a good day. Lay those things on the altar. Let God have His way. That devil in the book of Daniel said, talking about the devil himself, he said he was wearing out the saints. I've preached that message all over this land. The devil is wearing out the saints. Many of them are tired. Many of them discouraged. Many of them throwed in the towel. Many of them quit. I'm going to tell you something. While God is here to encourage the saint, instruct the saint, and encourage the saint, and send you on down the road for God. Oh, yeah, the devil's here. Sure, he discouraged you about what you're doing. What were you doing before you got saved? Nothing. Going to hell. You're not going anymore. Enjoy. Praise God over it. Amen. Let's sing another verse, Dr. Ruckman, please. Sir. Let God have His way right here. Let God. You're not saved. Just come on, sinner. Come on, sing it out. Is it all on the altar? Let God have His way.
Your name is here this morning. If you were to get saved here this morning, somebody would say, oh, so-and-so just made it in. They just made it in. You'd cause rejoicing. The Bible says, rejoicing among the present, the angel of God, over one sinner that repents, but over 99 just persons which have no need of repentance. Now, how many of you know of somebody who's unsaved here this morning? You know their name. Would you raise a hand? Would you raise a hand? Hold them up high, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7. All right, there are 7 people here this morning that know the name of somebody here who is an unsaved person. And if you were to come forth in this invitation, get on your knees and let the Lord Jesus Christ save you, you'd call for rejoicing right here. Amen. They say, oh, so-and-so just made it in. Amen. Why don't you do it? Why don't you do it? We're going to sing one more stand, then we're going to close. Now, this is your chance. This is your chance. I know a person here this morning who's unsaved. I know the name, too. Now, I'll tell you what I'll do. If I see them come forth in this invitation and get saved, I tell you what I'll do. I'll stand on top of that grand piano and praise God. Okay? All right, here we go. Who can tell? Who can tell? You gonna come? Now's the time. Come on. Come on. People praying for you. People know you by name. They're praying for you. Will you come? Will you come? Whosoever will, let him come. God help you. Step out. Come on. Come the best way you know how. Come ahead. Come ahead. We're going to close if you don't come. If you're going to do it now. Do it now. You can only be blessed and a peace and great rest. All right, we're going to close. You know, some of you Christians here this morning, you look as miserable as a wet dog coming out of a hailstorm. And with some of you, it isn't you have a real problem. I know some of you got real problems. I know that. I know people pretty well. I know some are in pain. Some have some real kind of problems that are real problems. A lot of you folks this morning look like you're a wet hand. Your problem is spiritual. That's your problem. And there's only one way to have joy, is trust and obey. There's no other way. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. This is Todd Packard, who come this morning to receive Christ as Savior. Public confession. And thank God for him. And others probably should come but didn't come. All right, now we've got to have a board meeting tonight after the service tonight for a few minutes. And I'm going to take the preachers out today. Lord, we're going to eat at the Fiji. And we won't be able to get away from here probably about 1 o'clock. I need to see Brother Song Lee a few minutes, and we'll leave here about 1 o'clock for the Fiji. You want to have fellowship with these fellows? Now it's time to have it. I don't, you know me, I usually try to get them out of here in a hurry when the meeting's over. And maybe some of them want to have fellowship and stand around and shoot the bull. But I know how it is. I know how it is. And some of them may be kind of like me, like to get away as soon as they can. And but they'll be around here now for about 20, 25 minutes. If you want to get any autographs and stuff, now's the time to get them. If you want to have fellowship with them, we're going to give you time to do it now for a while and take more of their Fiji eat about 1 o'clock. All right, last service tonight. If you're glad Brother Todd got saved, let me hear you say amen.
Yeah.
All right, and somebody be sure and congratulate me this morning before you leave. Let him know you thank God for him. And last service tonight, 6 o'clock, come back expecting and come back rejoicing.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
Brother Donovan, dismiss us with prayer.
Father, thank you, Lord. We heard this morning, and I pray for your people, Lord, that those that come forward this morning, they did lay it all on the altar and get up and go back rejoicing regardless of circumstances around us. Thank you for God coming forward and making public.
Amen.
Messages that we need to hear, and thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Lord bless you, dear Lord.